If you look in your worship folders, you'll see that there are two scripture readings at this time. One is from the Old Testament book of 1 Samuel. The other is from the New Testament, Mark's Gospel. This reading from 1 Samuel is rather long, so let me see if I can kind of summarize it. We know that David was, as a young shepherd boy, was anointed king while Saul was still ruling Israel. And later on then, David's brothers are at battle, and Jesse, their father, sends David to take some supplies. And so as he goes, the Israelite army is on their way out to the battle line, where it appears they've been standing from time to time, and this huge soldier, this giant from Gath, his name is Goliath, taunts the Israelite army. And he basically has challenged them and said, let's make this easy on everyone. You send one person out, and that particular person and I will fight. And if he can beat me, then we will become your servants. But if I beat him, then you become my servant. And the whole Israelite army is kind of trembling and not quite sure what to do. They give the size and the weights of Goliath's helmet and the armor that he's wearing and the size of the spear and javelin that he's carrying, and it looks like it's just this huge piece of lumber with a huge bronze head on the end of it as its spear. David goes and he hears this giant taunting Israelite again, or the Israelites again, and he speaks up and says, I'll take him on. And in the presence of Saul, David says to Saul, let no one's heart fail because of him, because your servant will go up and fight against this Philistine. And Saul says to David, Saul not knowing that David's been anointed king in his place, you're not able to go up against this Philistine to go fight with him. You are just a boy. And he's been a warrior since his youth. And then David goes on to say, but Saul, you need to realize I have kept my father's sheep, and I've kept them very well. And when a lion or a bear has come and snatched away one of the lambs or the sheep, I go after them. And I take that sheep or that lamb right out of that lion or that bear's mouth. And I've killed a lion and a bear with my hands. And I'm not afraid of this giant. And so Saul finally said to David, we'll go, and may the Lord be with you. And so Saul then has his armor put upon David, but we remember that David's yet a shepherd boy, and so the armor doesn't fit him, and David can hardly move. We watched a movie. Anybody go see Brave? We saw it last night, and what was her name, that red-headed princess? I don't know. But she's in this dress that her mother's put her in, and she can't function. She's a gifted archer, and finally she's going to show these three boys and the rest of the family that she can shoot better than any of them. And finally she just rips this dress of her mother, and away she goes. Well, David kind of does the same thing. He casts off that armor. And as he's walking past the riverbed, he picks up 5 stones and sticks them into his pocket and goes and addresses that Philistine that comes out to him. And this is probably the climax of the whole story. When the Philistine, verse 42, when the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth. The Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come out to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the wild animals of the field." But David said, "You come to me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This very day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. And I will give the bodies, the dead bodies of the Philistine army this very day to the birds of the air and the wild animals of the earth, so that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And that all this assembly may know that the Lord does not save by sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into my hand." And that stone is cast, the scriptures say, sinking into Goliath's head, and he then fell face down to the ground. And then the words from Matthew's gospel. On that day when the evening had come, Jesus said to them, "Let's go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose and the waves beat into the boat so that the boat was already being swamped. But Jesus was in the stern asleep on a cushion, and they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are about to be swamped and that we are perishing?" And he woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And then the wind ceased, and there was a dead calm. And he said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" May God's blessing be upon the reading and the hearing of these words to us this day, for they are the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, for these words of Scripture and their claim upon our lives, we are grateful to you. Give us rest, O God, from those things past, present, and yet to come. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, may they be pleasing and acceptable, O God, to you, our rock and our redeemer. For we pray in Christ's name. Amen. 3 short stories with a common theme. Story number 1, in about 500 BC, it is said that Buddha meditated alone in an Indian cave for about 40 days. And then he staggered out of that cave nearly dead from starvation. A little girl from the nearby village saw him and offered him some milk and some rice pudding. Energized by this snack, tradition has it that Buddha then walked to the famous tree under which he meditated and received his enlightenment, and the village girl gave a small gift that launched an entire religion. Story number two, in the early 1700s, the French army had come close to taking the citadel in a city in northern Italy. But then a common Italian soldier developed a clever plan. He armed a mine in a tunnel, and he lured the French army closer, and then he blew himself up with the entire force of enemy army. The event turned the tide of the battle and eventually the war. A single soldier took out an entire army and turned the tide of a battle. Story three, when William of Orange assumed the English, Irish, and Scottish thrones in the year 1689, a group of opponents called the Jacobites, well, they took action to overthrow him. But they were unsuccessful in their efforts. And then one day, as William of Orange was traveling on his horse, a little mole flipped up a clump of dirt that the horse tripped on and threw its rider, William of Orange, and he broke his collarbone. While the king was recovering from that broken collarbone, history has it that he developed pneumonia and died. For years afterwards, the Jacobites toasted to this mole, calling him the little gentleman in black velvet. The tiny mammal had helped to eliminate their nemesis, William of Orange. Three stories and one theme. Small can be surprisingly strong and effective. According to the Mental Floss magazine, the village girl, the Italian soldier, and the tiny mole were all little ones who have become historical heavyweights. Now here's the deal. I'm not endorsing Buddhism. I'm not applauding homicide bombers, and I am not on the side of the Jacobites. They are stories to illustrate a single point. Smallness can be surprisingly effective. The story of David and Goliath seems to be a story that is totally lopsided. There's no way this little shepherd boy is going to overcome this 10-foot giant. But David says, "You come to me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. I come to you in the name of Almighty God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied this day. And so this very day, the Lord is going to deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head." You see, David knows that if he believes within his heart that the power of Almighty God is upon him and that anything can happen. He's convinced that the battle's not his. He knows that the battle is Almighty God's. Trusting God all the way, David runs quickly to the battle line, flings a stone at this Philistine, and knocks him to the ground, and the rest is history. I come to you in the name of the Lord. David's not full of self-confidence. David is filled with God confidence. And he knows that anything can happen with the power and the presence of Almighty God. When we talk about the power of small things, we're really talking about the power of Almighty God. We remember that story in 1 Kings in the 19th chapter when Elijah is running like a scared rabbit from Jezebel the queen. He's hiding in a cave, and God says, "Why are you here, Elijah?" And finally, God says, "That's enough." And there's an earthquake, there's fire, there's massive wind, and God is not in any of that. But when there is the sound of sheer silence, there Elijah hears the voice of God that sustains him. God is in the small stuff of life. We remember the words in Luke, the 17th chapter. The apostles said to Jesus, "Increase our faith." And Jesus replies, "If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and be planted in the sea,' and it would be done." The power of small is the power of God. But oh, what a force it is. It's the power of compassion that inspires a young girl to give some milk and some rice pudding to a hungry stranger. It's a power of sacrifice that enables a soldier to offer his life to save a city, let alone a whole country. It's the power of justice that drives a group of Christians to confront deeply rooted racism in their community. It's a power of community that creates close personal bonds and a high level of commitment to our churches. If we put our trust in Almighty God, when we do put our trust in Almighty God, amazing things can and will happen. That's the power of that small faith that is available to each and every one of us. Let's pray. O God, in the small shepherd boy, the still small voice in the sheer silence, the faith of a tiny seed. In all of it, O God, great things can happen. Your presence is always with us, O God, and upon us, and we pray that that small seed of faith, that it might be planted within our hearts, our minds, and our spirits, that we might go forth into the world. That as your presence is upon us, we might do great things within and for your kingdom. For it's in Christ that we pray. Amen.